Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
About to be a great night.
Feeling good tonight.
Yeah, this is one hell of a night.
Now, back to Late Night with Hancock and Kelly on King of OX.
Ah, yes, the Knights of Swing. That's the big band in town whose leader is none other than our own Maria Kina. The Knights of Swing, a 16-piece orchestra, Michael.
16?
16.
That's larger than a football team.
It is, and they got all the instruments out there. They perform all over town. The Knights of Swing, you can find them on Facebook. You can hire them.
That's K-N-I-G-H-T-S.
Up Swing. If you have enough money, you can hire them, and they will perform at your wedding, bar mitzvah, or whatever you would have.
Anniversary, graduation.
That's all of it. Maria, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
All is well. We had the pleasure, you and I, of dining together the other night over at the home of Mr. and Mrs. Kevin Colleen.
We did, and it was so nice, and it was just... to be out of this environment and just be with, it was great to see Kevin too.
It was.
And just the holiday season. It was very nice.
It was nice of him to do that for you.
Yeah, it was.
It was. And his basement, he's got, how would you describe this basement?
Well, I don't know because I was so mesmerized by the pinball machine. They couldn't get me away from it.
She was a pinball wizard.
I was.
Kevin has a working pinball machine?
A working pinball machine.
How come I have visions of, by the way, I was invited to this party, but I was out of town.
Yeah, you were out of town like you are.
But.
Three out of every four weeks.
I have visions of like his basement looking like an antique collection store.
It does. Yes.
Exactly right.
But I
didn't
see it functionable, like where actually be able to play. And
he had coffee tins. He had tobacco tins. He had old pictures of Coca-Cola, you know, signs.
And working pinball machine.
And a working pinball machine. When I saw it, I said... Does that work, Kevin? And he says yes. And I was like, I'll talk to you later.
Had a barber chair in there.
Yeah.
Nice.
And did they have like the old fire hose?
Yes.
A couple of those. He had those with the big red metal. It was very cool. And did you notice how clean it was?
Yes.
There was no dust on anything.
It was clean at the Colleen's. Yeah, no dust in the basement there. All the little artifacts he has and no dust
now,
on
is
them.
The basement fixed up or?
Well, it is. So he's got like a little pharmacy in there, you know, like the old time farm with a little, soda pump.
Really?
Yes. And then he's got a little post office thing with a little mail slot.
He's the most interesting man, isn't he
though?
Yeah.
He truly is.
Just an interesting dude.
It was a lovely evening.
It was.
Had the
That's
lasagna.
Lovely. Would you? Lasagna?
You got to have some guts to cook lasagna for Maria King. But they did it. And they pulled it off.
And it was
Nancy Colleen did a phenomenal job on the lasagna.
Did John get in front of the piano there at the Colleen house?
Yes, he did.
And what did he play?
He played a little bit of something.
Yeah.
Did you play a little Summer Highland Falls?
No.
No?
No, I didn't.
A little ragtime.
I did. I texted.
He started stomping that foot.
I did text Kevin the name of my piano tuner.
Yeah.
Yes, I noticed that.
John.
Well, I mean, you know, just trying to help out.
Don't be rude.
No, it wasn't rude.
You know, you were invited. Was this a New Year's party?
No, it was before New Year's.
It was before New Year's. It was in between.
And Kevin played, too.
Kevin did play.
Kevin plays the piano.
And Maria sang.
Really? What'd you sing?
All kinds of stuff.
Yeah, must have been a good one. It's just too good to be true.
No, I think I sang The Man I Love.
You did sing The Man I Love. Yeah.
Hey, now. Yeah. Well, how about this? What a lovely evening.
It was
congratulations.
It was a lovely evening.
But finally, tell all the good people, how is Kevin? Is he all
Kevin's
right?
Kevin's doing great.
He's the
director of communications for St. Charles County, Missouri.
That's a nice county. I grew up there.
And he left here after, 20-some years,
I think.
But it's a great gig. He's doing a great job. He's enjoying himself, but we miss him here.
Yeah, we do.
No doubt about it.
There was, Kevin is a unique personality, I think we would all agree.
So, he's a good cup of coffee, though. He's a fun guy to have a conversation with.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Absolutely.
He thinks so differently than normal average bear, you know?
He's definitely on the spectrum. Maria, are you a snow person or a non-snow person?
I like snow.
I do, too. If it's going to be cold and it's going to rain and snow, then snow a lot.
Then snow a lot. And plus, I have the two dogs. Constantine, I told John about this at the party.
Is he named after Constantine, who once ruled the Catholic Church?
No, actually, my grandfather was, his name was Constantine.
Really?
And I'm Constance, so that's the Greek name.
Oh, okay.
Which translated in English to Gus.
Aha.
Which is my dog.
Exactly, which is your dog.
There you go.
So far, he only answers to Constantine, but he's a puppy. Uh-huh. And he's a lunatic, and I found out he's really actually a Great Pyrenees. So he's going to be huge.
Purebred?
No, he's not purebred, but when I took him out of stray rescue, he weighed 22 and a half pounds.
Yeah.
I brought him to the vet last Friday. He weighs 64 and a half.
Well, Gus is a Great Pyrenees mix.
He is?
Yes.
How many days did that happen over? He doubled in size.
I got him the end of August.
Yeah?
And now?
Good for him. But is he still fit and stuff?
Oh, yeah, he's still fit. Except I think that he just loves to go out, and he's white with black spots all over him.
Uh-huh.
And he goes out in that mud. Oh, my gosh. I got pictures
of him. All right. I want to see him.
And it's a nightmare.
Is it?
An absolute nightmare, and he won't let me clean his paws. So it's this big battle.
Are we potty trained there?
I did potty train him, and he does know how to walk on a leash now, but he didn't when I took him out of there.
Well, you know, it takes time.
Yes.
You got two dogs.
That's right. Simone.
Simone is a what?
She's a sleek black something or the other.
Uh-huh.
They say lab because, you know, they say everything's a lab mix.
Right.
And she's not. She's got these skinny, beautiful legs. She's sleek, and she runs like a gazelle.
That kind of sounds like me.
What made you decide to go over to Stray Rescue and grab yourself, Constance?
Well, I went to do a story because they were really hurting. They needed to get dogs, people like fosters and people to come in and adopt. And he started talking to me.
The dog starts talking to you.
He was like, we're having this big conversation. And I thought, oh, my gosh. And so I went over to him, and I knew I'd been, that was it.
Get
I was done. I'm like, okay, you're coming home.
Come on, buddy.
So I'm a foster feel now, again.
Nice.
Good for you.
So what do we think Gus is, or Constantine ultimately is going to... achieve in terms of weight?
Well, Dr. Davis told me that I can expect 10 more months of growing.
Wow.
Until he's about 18 months.
And how do they big? I always hear people say, oh, look at the size of the foot on that dog. That's going to be a big dog, blah, blah, blah.
And he had huge feet.
Yeah.
He had huge paws. And I thought, no, he's going to be like a little runt.
Uh-huh.
And I still think there's some runt in him.
Yeah.
Because, like, he used to be able to go under his sister, Simone, and now he can't.
Right.
Because he's like almost taller than she is.
Right.
So it's happened quickly.
Wow.
I was a runt when I was a little kid.
Were you?
Yeah, I was a short little guy.
Were you really?
Well, I was growing still in college.
Really?
Get out.
Yeah. I grew about another inch and a half when I went to college.
But you were just a wee little lad, huh?
Yeah, well, a little small. I was a pipsqueak.
Oh my gosh.
I'm sure the parents were looking at me like she was thinking, Constantine's a runt. And then all of a sudden, you don't know what you're dealing with. At least you don't have to go buy pants for him.
No, but man, the food's killing me.
I'll bet. Wait till you get into the medication. That's where we're in now.
He has to have medication already because he has paws issues with his paws.
I dropped $140 today on medicine for Gus.
John said a name of a drug. What was it again?
Gabapentin.
One of my friends takes who's got like serious medical issues.
Mm-hmm. Well, so does Gus.
A dog is taking gabapentin.
They try to give
it ain't cheap.
No, it's not. They try to give me gabapentin after an automobile accident.
Yeah.
And I hallucinated from it. It's really,
Maybe that's why Gus just randomly barks at the fireplace.
That's cool, though.
See, I saw fire coming out of the exchange.
There it is.
Is there anything cooler than a dog dreaming, though, when you see them?
Oh, no, that is. And they're always running.
And you can see them, they're moving and they're running their little legs and they're, you know, they're dreaming.
That's the best.
Have you ever seen that?
No.
You haven't?
Seen that?
No. Doesn't Gus do that?
I don't sit around and watch the dog sleeping. I mean, you know, my life is not that exciting.
No, wait a minute.
But it's not.
You
that
tried
dull
to make
either.
Me sound stupid. Now, you're the one who follows this dog around with a plastic bag and picks up its excrement. I'm simply pointing out that the dog dreams, and you're like, no, I'm that boring, Kelly, that I'd watch a dog dream.
I can't believe that you haven't seen them when they're sleeping and their paws start going because you could tell they're running.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that what dogs dream?
They're
They make noises.
They make noises and everything.
They do.
Yes.
I don't make noises when I sleep.
How do you know when you're sleeping?
Well, because I'm sleeping. I don't. I'm not making. Noise. Well, I'm sure. Although I did. You know what I did do? I'm so proud of myself.
Okay.
So, you know, for the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 or 5 years, I've had the, what do you call them? The CPAP.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you got the little thing, and it goes on over your head, and I've never slept better in my life. The CPAP, whoosh, you know, the air going through. Mm-hmm. And so
you
got a little
distilled water for it.
Little, yeah, distilled water. And so you got a little plastic thing there on the front that kind of keeps the water, that keeps the air flowing. And I, somehow, the other night, I must have taken it off and thrown it away. And so and so now the air just, it doesn't go in my nose. It just goes out, and I'm thinking. And so I spent a night without the CPAP. I woke up 4 times during the night.
Wait a minute. Did you find it?
No.
Well, where did you throw it?
I have no idea. I've looked everywhere. I looked in the sheets. I looked under the bed.
Are they going to send you a new one?
No.
Maybe Gus has it.
Because I, Michael, am creative.
Oh, Lord. Did he pull out duct tape? You pulled out duct tape, didn't you?
Paper towels, buddy.
Paper towels?
I'm stuffing the paper towels in that hole. I slept like a baby last night.
Wait a minute. You're sticking paper. Like, is this like a Boeing situation? Like a major piece is missing?
Yeah, but I got the, I stuffed the paper towel
paper
stuff
towels.
In there. Yes.
Don't they get wet?
You suck that down the hose and have a paper towel in your throat?
Don't they get wet?
It's in, but everything smells like dish soap. But no, I mean, it's all good. It's all good.
I don't think you should be breathing that.
I fixed my CPAP, and I'm happy about
it. I think you ought to let the CPAP company know, hey, I'm missing this one piece, and see if they'll send you that.
Yeah.
And then I'm sure they will. As much money as your insurance company's paying for you to have that, you should get that. Don't be Sanford and Son in it.
No, no.
Put paper towels in.
It worked. Well, it's as sad as I am to say this, this segment is over.
You brought it up.
I did. When we come back, thank you, Maria.
Thank you.
That's Maria Keita, ladies and gentlemen. The Knights of Swing, in case you forgot, in the midst of all of that conversation. When we come back, Missouri Secretary of State was on CNN
today. Wait till you hear what this guy
Michael
did.
Kelly, I haven't listened to it.
Backward
but Michael,
Missouri's
Michael Kelly's got some
here.
Thoughts, apparently, and we'll see what those are when we come back after this on The Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Hey, welcome back to Late Night with Hancock and Kelly. We don't normally do too much politics on Monday night, but we're going to... Because it's so ridiculous, John. So this afternoon, somebody sends me a link to the Secretary of State of Missouri.
Jay Ashcroft.
So he is doing a national interview on CNN.
Yeah.
And he made a real nitwit of himself.
No, come on.
Yeah, he made himself look really, really, really bad. And
surely not.
He didn't made it look like he didn't have... Great command of his subject matter. Did we have that? Play that clip.
Well, hold on. Well, let me.
You going to set the table?
Yeah. Yeah. So, right. As you know, the case from Colorado,
right?
Where they've said that Donald Trump's name cannot appear on the ballot, that is now going before the Supreme Court. And Secretary Ashcroft was making the point that if Trump's name is removed from the ballot.
Yeah, he was going to go remove Joe Biden.
He was going to remove Joe Biden's
name. For the same exact thing that Donald Trump. Now, Donald Trump is under 90, almost 90 felony indictments, et cetera. We all watched January 6th. That's what the question is around. They're trying to say that Joe Biden has issues similar.
So the CNN host is interviewing Missouri Secretary of State Jay Ashcroft. This was just today.
What did Joe Biden do in your mind that equates insurrection? What allegations are you talking about?
I have seen allegations from the lieutenant governor of Texas that has said that Joe Biden has been part of insurrection or rebellion. We've seen the governor of Florida say the same thing.
Insurrection over what? What did the governor of Texas say that Joe Biden was causing an insurrection over? If you're going to make the claim, give me some specifics. Are you just going to cite the governor of Texas or Florida and not actually say what they are arguing? Do you know what they're arguing?
What I'm telling you is this. They made allegations, and all it took for former President Trump to be taken off the ballot in Colorado and in Maine were allegations. We should not be a country that removes people from the ballot based on allegations. I think you can agree with that.
I think it depends to a degree.
Oh, so because your guy can be removed from the FBI.
My guy, Joe Biden is not my guy. You don't know who my guy is. The point is, sir, the point is that it's not clear whether the 14th Amendment is self-executing or not. In other words, it doesn't matter to a court at that point whether there was a conviction of Donald Trump for insurrection or not. That is a.
So here's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
This guy, he's attention seeking because he clearly doesn't even understand his own arguments. Then he goes on and he's in a combative nature with this reporter who's saying to him, the clip goes on for a while. He goes on to say to him, he says, look, you're going to have to go to court to do this. What will be your strongest argument in court? I'm not going to court. You listen to me, blah, blah, blah. I mean, he just goes and rants and raves and acts a fool. And listen, I get it. He's trying to be governor, but he's also showing us exactly who he is. This is a guy who's bungled and tried to politicize nearly every ministerial job he's had, from certifying things to put to the ballot to the abortion issue to the transgender thing. He's just tried to put his thumb on the scale when it's not necessary.
I guess you're not a fan.
No. And it's just the perfect example of what people are got to be thinking about Missouri. Between most of these candidates running on your side, John, who want to out-Trumpian, and I don't get it, because John Ashcroft, who's Jay's father, was a religious man, a pious man, a person who was very, very invested in his faith. To watch these people, and his son now, a man of faith apparently as well, to go over there and bend themselves sell themselves to this man of Donald Trump makes no sense to me. To the point where you will go and make an argument on national TV that you don't even understand the argument you're making because it gets you attention.
Well, I think the point that Jay Ashcroft was trying to make is that you shouldn't remove people from the ballot for arbitrary reasons.
Donald Trump's not being removed for arbitrary reasons.
Well, it's going to be appealed to the Supreme Court. I don't think the Supreme Court is going to uphold the Colorado decision.
You can't keep him off the
ballot. I think that's right. And I think that was the point. Now, what I would say as a political operative, which is what you and I are in our real life, when we're not talking on this thing, is that I don't think I would put a client of mine in a situation like that.
No,
that has the potential to blow up, and I do think that was a mistake on the part of the Ashcroft.
Yeah, and people. The other thing I would do, John, is I would obviously the man has something he wants to say. I'd practice it, because he was automatically assuming that the interviewer was hostile with him, and he wasn't. He was saying, "Make your case," and then he took it to be hostile. And what we learned when Jay Ashcroft got hostile, which, by the way, he got hostile with me in an interview. I've seen him do it with other folks. He doesn't know his facts. This isn't a guy who really has much there. It's all about the soundbite of the national media.
Well, he may be the next governor of Missouri, Michael.
Good Lord, I hope not. that apple rolled a fall a long way from the tree. Hey, that's John Hancock. I'm Michael Kelly. You can't say anymore. I'm cutting you off.
I'm trying to convince Michael Kelly that it's time to move into the 20th century.
Yeah, you're wrong about this because of a very major thing that I will refuse to do to myself and most of you out there won't do.
We'll talk about that next on KMOX. So, Michael Kelly and John Hancock with you for the next half an hour. That's the best of Glover, and then it's whatever else they put on the air after that.
My American Story.
It's something like that. And then, so earlier this evening, as we were preparing to talk to all of you, Michael and I met, as we often do, at the Pink Galleon.
Yes.
At the snooker table there.
Yeah.
The Pink Galleon.
Oh, here we go.
9-foot-long snooker table.
Let's get through this.
And we're shooting a little snooker.
Yeah.
And, it was pretty, I don't like to talk, Michael, but I had
To be honest with you, it's getting to the point where it's no longer fun.
No,
And you may be playing by yourself here soon, because if I was playing this poorly on a golf course this consistently, I would throw my clubs in the trunk and never play with them again.
You weren't playing poorly. It's just
John. I don't think I ever had the lead today.
You did a couple times.
No, I didn't have the lead. I think but one time.
No, twice.
In the six or seven games we played.
Yeah,
the other times you had it. Now you're getting up at what? What time this morning did you get up to watch the snooker from England?
6:30.
So you got up at 6:30. This is a man who likes to sleep till 8.
No, I don't sleep until 8 during the week.
7:30?
No, I get up at 6 usually.
So you slept in because you were going to... And you spent the morning watching Ronnie O'Sullivan play.
I did, yes. Yeah.
All right, so we're there, and I've just gotten to the point where I'm starting to realize that I'm going to have to wear my eyeglasses 24/7.
Well, here's the problem. So when you're properly bent over the cue... And you've got your glasses there, and you're trying to look. The glasses are not conducive to tracking the cue ball and the object ball.
Right.
And so you, yes. I found you taking your glasses
I'd
off.
I have to take my glasses off and then play the ball.
Which is diminishing your eyesight.
Yeah,
and
right.
So you put yourself in a severe disadvantage. And if I could offer one slight piece of advice that could radically transform your snooker game and quite possibly change your life.
Let's go.
It would be going Lasix. Into that great invention of the 20th century, contact lenses.
Okay, here's my problem with contact lenses.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you ever had pink eye in your life?
Maybe.
Have you ever had something where you had to put some eye drops in your eye?
Yeah.
I can't do it.
What?
I can't do it. I can't.
You can't put an eye drop in your eye?
No, and in fact, I've had friends of mine, you know, that have had to put drops in my eyes for me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have a hard time laying down and not putting things when people are getting close to my eyes.
What's
and letting them touch. I don't know. I can't touch my own eyeball. I don't want to touch my eyeball. I can't even do the drops.
There,
and now
boy.
Look at that. Oh, man, he just took his finger, and what he's doing is he's touching his eyeball. And so I can't touch my eyeball. So
yeah,
how am I ever going to? No, I would get it in, and it would be there for 2 months because I'm like, how am I going to take this thing out?
Can you just move it to the side, and you pinch it, and you take it out?
Oh, you don't touch your eyeball,
of course
John.
You do.
No, you don't.
What's the thing with it? Your eye is just like anything else.
Yeah,
like,
I guess it's like snow skiing. It's something I should have learned at a young age.
Can you touch your nose? Look at
it's
there.
It's something I should have learned at a young
can
age.
Can you touch your ear? There's all your ears over there.
You can't swim.
No, but it has nothing to do with
you should have learned
lenses.
That at a young age. I should have learned eyeball touching at a young age.
Yeah. Well, so you're not actually touching your eyeball.
John,
you've got the
contact literally
lens.
Taking your index finger and moving a piece of glass along the surface of your eye.
Now, if it were made of glass, that'd be a different.
Well, what is
issue.
It made of?
It's made of polycarbon stuff.
Glass.
No, it's a little flexible
glass.
Little plastic. It's not too, you know. It's made of.
How do they? It's like a plastic glass.
It's got the vision thing on it, and you can see.
Right.
And you don't have to look over the rim of your glasses when you're shooting the snooker ball, and your whole it'll transform everything.
I think this is going to be one of those things that I'm going to have to ease into with just doing the drops on my eyes first.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. You squirt a little Visine in there.
I can't do it.
It's a piece of cake.
I can't do it, brother.
It's a piece of cake.
I understand it's a piece of cake. And listen,
millions and millions.
I'm not
and
vain
millions.
Enough where I don't like to not, but I would prefer to not have to wear my glasses.
Yes.
So I went to Doctors Birdie,
Malhotra,
Brusati,
and
all the rest
guy.
Of them.
Right. Barry.
And Barry. And they said, you can't get the LASIK. And I said, what?
Why?
They said, you got astigmatism. I said, what's that mean? They said, well, your eyes are a little wacky.
That's when you get stigma in the eye. You know,
and I said, well, you can't do that? And they're like, no. What you need is something for, you know, you got to start doing these drops and, you know, you need eyeglasses.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe you ought to consider contacts. And I can't do it.
No, you got to do it. It will.
How old were you when you started using contacts?
20s, maybe,
yeah, exactly.
Or teens, or I mean, I wasn't a kid.
Were you drunk?
The
first time you put them in,
because
you're going to touch your eyeball. You have to be out of your
mind.
You're
not touching your eyeball. You got the contact lens on your finger, and you put your finger up there, and you put it in, and
on your eye
a little bit on your eye.
Yeah.
Huh.
I understand that this isn't something you can grasp, but there are people out there like me who know exactly what I'm talking about. The idea of someone coming at them, including themselves, to insert something into their eye is something they could never go
for. So you probably weren't really good at 3D movies.
No, I don't have a problem with those glasses.
Coming at you and the,
well, I didn't have a problem with that. Right. I don't have a problem with that. I don't want to. Yeah, I don't want anybody getting anywhere. First of all, I don't want anybody touching my face. Do you like when people touch your face?
Well,
somebody said to me one day, "I got you a facial." I was like, "A facial? Have you ever had anybody touch your face?"
My wife touches my face.
Oh, that sounds horrible.
Yeah, and occasionally she touches it hard.
Yeah, well, but I mean, like, that's when she's, like, grabbing a cheek to say, you know, John Hancock, you're the most romantic little sucker out there.
No, that's when the left hook comes out of
it. No, but what I'm suggesting is that I don't like when people touch my face.
I've much never less, touched your face.
And then you get and close I, to my I eyes, then never, I want to fight.
I will never touch your face.
I don't think this is that unique of an issue.
It's
I think
a totally
most
unique
people,
issue. There are millions of people out there. Where PJ over here is wearing contact
There's
lenses.
Millions of people I know who...
You wear
know-
one? Oh, I knew I liked this guy. I liked this guy.
This guy, so, I think PJ like comes in here just to try to make you like feel like you're his second dad.
Well, let me tell you about this. So what PJ and I have in common is something we like to call monovision, Michael.
Hmm.
We went to the eye doctor, and our problem...
You got one eye?
Let me explain to you. I mean, yeah. It's technical, but follow along.
I got one.
So we are what we call nearsighted, all right? And which means our distance vision is not so good.
That's what I have.
Exactly. It needs to be corrected. And so I've had the same prescription I've said for decades now. My eyes aren't getting any worse.
Yeah.
But they're not good. Like without correction, I can't read. I couldn't read the overhead door company of St. Louis Traffic Center sign if I didn't have my contacts.
Really?
On. Yes.
Yeah.
What I have learned is I was wearing two contacts for a while,
right,
and I'm getting a little older. And when you get a little older, reading the small print gets more and more difficult. That's why people like my wife, my lovely wife, has to wear reading glasses to be able to read.
Yeah.
So what PJ and I are going to experience, and him for many, many years, me for whatever I got left, is we put the one contact in your dominant eye, and with that eye, you can read distance, you can see the street signs, you can kind of navigate your way, watch television, see the score of the football game, all kinds of things with that contact lens.
Don't you get dizzy?
No.
Because it's only one eye.
It's just one eye, but it's the dominant eye.
Well, how do you know what your dominant eye is?
There's a test you do.
Okay.
You put a triangle up and you look over and something happens. And then, when your other eye, naked, nothing. Mm-hmm. And with that naked eye, I can read the smallest print. You cannot get a typeface small enough that I can't read it.
But here's what I don't.
And so it's a miracle. And so I'll never have to wear glasses
again.
How
do you not get dizzy? Don't you feel like half of your eyes have got a magnifying glass and the other half are normal?
No, because Michael, the brain is a wondrous thing.
Mm.
And you got your left lobe over there. Mm-hmm. You got your right lobe over here.
And I have a left eye and a right eye that I'd like to keep, and I don't want to touch them.
Well, fine, but your brain is what the brain is constantly. My brain is telling me, look at that sign over there and read it.
Okay.
And there it is. It says skinker.
Yeah.
And then my brain is saying, oh, there's the menu. What is in the marmalade? And you read, well, it's got some orange in there. And you read the smallest little print possible.
Hmm.
I will never, PJ, will never need glasses again for the rest of his life. Huh. It's a miracle.
Now, do you have to, when you go to your eye test for the driving?
Yeah.
Have you put your head against the thing? You know what I'm saying? And you look through those things?
Yeah, I cheat.
Yeah, do you tell them, hey, I got eyeglasses?
No, because you know what they do? They try and trick you. You know, they put the things on the left side, and that says stop. And then they put the stuff on the right. I can't see a darn thing because I don't have a contact in my right eye.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kind of shift over.
Oh, you look with one eye?
Yeah, I just kind of
So you really only have one eye that works.
That sees distance. My one eye, my dominant eye, sees distance.
Why wouldn't you just have two contacts?
Because then I couldn't read small print.
Well, what am I supposed to do? Because I can read small print, but you're telling me to get
one contact lens.
I don't know about that.
Go to monovision.
Okay.
It'll change everything.
I'm going to go talk to the doctor and see what I can figure out.
And all I can say is that the choice of an ophthalmologist is an extremely important decision and should not be based solely on what Hancock and Kelly have to say.
Clearly not.
When we come back, the Cardinals, well, they're out of money. That's next on KMOX.
So sometimes I wonder about your humor. Like, you and I...
PJ loves it.
I understand, but...
My wife loves it. She thinks
really?
I'm funny. Yeah,
you think
yeah.
she thinks you're funny?
Oh, yeah. She thinks I'm funny.
Huh.
Yeah. She's laughing at me all the time.
It's John Hancock, Michael Kelly. Yeah. So we'll be back here Friday morning, 8:30 to 11 o'clock.
We say Hancock that, but we don't Kelly, know for sure.
The regular
we
tele-
get
the
fired
radio
at
show.
Any moment.
No, we're not getting fired.
Yeah, we are.
We're
well,
we're here on the national championship
the
game.
The price
dude.
Is right.
We're, yeah, we're, yeah. We're, we ain't getting fired.
No, that's a good point.
So you can see us Friday or hear us Friday. And then don't forget, you can see us on Sunday mornings, 8:30, Fox 2 here in St. Louis for Hancock and Kelly, the television show. And, John, the Cardinals made some moves today, but it wasn't anybody who was going to be swinging a bat.
Well, we're bringing in old
Chaim Bloom.
Yeah, Chaim Bloom.
Chaim.
Yep, Chaim Bloom coming to us by way of the Boston Red Sox, I believe.
Via the Tampa Bay Devil Rays.
Yes, yeah. And he's going to be an advisor to John Mozeliak, which I think is a good thing. And Chaim Bloom has had a good career evaluating talent. He's done a fine job.
At the same time, Bill DeWitt III announced the other day that Billy Joel and Sting would be joining the lineup for the Cardinals, but probably nobody else.
Yeah, I mean, they...
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
So, Michael Kelly and John Hancock with you for the next half an hour. That's the best of Glover, and then it's whatever else they put on the air after that. And
My American Story.
It's something like that. And then, so earlier this evening, as we were preparing to talk to all of you, Michael and I met, as we often do, at the Pink Galleon.
Yes.
At the snooker table there.
Yeah.
At the Pink Galleon.
Oh, here we go.
9-foot-long snooker table.
Let's get through this.
And we're shooting a little snooker.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was pretty, you know, I don't like to talk, Michael, but I had...
Well, to be honest with you, it's getting to the point where it's no longer fun.
No,
And you may be playing
blast.
By yourself here soon, because if I was playing this poorly on a golf course this consistently... I would throw my clubs in the trunk
well,
and never play with them
again.
Well,
you weren't playing poorly. It's just
John. I don't think I ever had the lead today.
You did a couple times.
No, I didn't have the lead. I think but one time.
No, twice.
In the 6 or 7 games we played.
Yeah.
The other times you had it. Now you're getting up at what time this morning did you get up to watch the snooker from England?
6:30.
So you got up at 6:30. This is a man who likes to sleep till 8.
No, I don't sleep until 8 during the week.
7:30?
No, I get up at 6 usually.
So, you slept in because you were going to the snooker. And you spent the morning watching Ronnie O'Sullivan
I did.
Play.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So we're there, and I've just gotten to the point where I'm starting to realize that I'm going to have to wear my eyeglasses 24/7.
Well, here's the problem. So when you're properly bent over the cue... And you've got your glasses there, and you're trying to look. The glasses are not conducive to tracking the cue ball and the object ball.
Right.
And so you,
yes.
I found you taking your glasses off.
I have to take my glasses off and
then
play the ball.
Which is diminishing your eyesight.
Yeah,
and
right.
So you put yourself in a severe disadvantage. And if I could offer one slight piece of advice that could radically transform your snooker game and quite possibly change your life.
Let's go.
It would be going
Lasix.
Into that great invention of the 20th century, contact lenses.
Okay, here's my problem with contact lenses.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you ever had pink eye in your life?
Maybe.
Have you ever had something where you had to put some eye drops in your eye?
Yeah.
I can't do it.
What?
I can't do it. I can't.
You can't put an eye drop in your eye?
No, and in fact, I've had friends of mine,
yeah.
You know, that have had to put drops in my eyes for me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have a hard time laying down and not putting things when people are getting close to my eyes and letting them touch. I don't know. I can't touch my own eyeball. I don't want to touch my eyeball. I can't even do the drops. And now look at that. Oh, man, he just took his finger, and what he's doing is he's touching his eyeball. And so I can't touch my eyeball. So how am I ever going to? No, I would get it in, and it would be there for 2 months because I'm like, how am I going to take this thing out?
Could you just move it to the side, and you pinch it, and you take it out?
Oh, you don't touch your eyeball,
of course
John.
You do.
No, you don't.
What's the thing with it? There's your eyes, just like anything else.
Yeah, I guess it's like snow skiing. It's something I should have learned at a young age.
Can you touch your nose? Look at
that. It's something I should have learned at a young age.
Can you touch your ear? There's all your ears over there.
You can't swim.
No, but it has nothing to do with
you should have learned that at a young age. I should have learned eyeball touching at a young age.
Yeah. Well, so you're not actually touching your eyeball.
You're literally taking your index finger and moving a piece of glass along the surface of your eye.
Now, if it were made of glass, that'd be a different.
Well, what is
issue.
It made of?
It's made of polycarbon stuff.
Glass.
No, it's a little flexible glass. Little plastic. It's not it's made out.
How do they? It's like a plastic glass.
It's got the vision thing on it, and you can see.
Right.
And you don't have to look over the rim of your glasses when you're shooting the snooker ball, and your it'll transform. Everything.
I think this is going to be one of those things that I'm going to have to ease into with just doing the drops on my eyes first. Well, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You scored a little Visine in there.
I can't do it.
It's a piece of cake.
I can't do it, brother.
It's a piece of cake.
I understand it's a piece of cake. And listen,
I'm not vain enough
where I don't like to not, but I would prefer to not have to wear my glasses.
Yes.
So I went to Doctors Birdie, Malhotra, Brusati, and all the rest
guy.
Of them.
Right. Barry.
And Barry. And they said, you can't get the LASIK. And I said, what?
Why?
They said, you got astigmatism. I said, what's that mean? They said, well, your eyes are a little wacky.
That's when you get a stigma in the eye.
I said, well, you can't do that? And they're like, no. What you need is something for, you got to start doing these drops and, you need eyeglasses.
Yeah.
And, maybe you ought to consider contacts and, I can't do it.
No, you got to do it. It will.
How old were you when you started using contacts?
20s, maybe, yeah,
exactly.
Or teens. I wasn't a kid.
Were you drunk?
The
first time you put them in?
No.
Because, you're going to touch your eyeball. You have to be out of your mind.
You're not touching
to do
your
that.
Eyeball. You got the contact lens on your finger.
Uh-huh.
And you put your finger up there and you put it in. And you
on your eye.
A little bit on your eye.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh.
I understand that this isn't something you can grasp, but there are people out there like me who know exactly what I'm talking about. The idea of someone coming at them, including themselves, to insert something into their eye is something they could never go
for.
So
you probably weren't really good at 3D movies.
No, I don't have a problem with those glasses.
Coming at you and
I didn't have a problem with that. Right. I don't have a problem with that. I don't want to. Yeah, I don't want anybody getting anywhere. First of all, I don't want anybody touching my face. Do you like when people touch your face?
Well,
somebody said to me one day, I got you a facial. I was like, a facial? Have you ever had anybody touch your face?
My wife touches my face.
Oh, that sounds horrible.
Yeah, and occasionally she touches it hard.
Yeah, but I mean, like, that's when she's like grabbing a cheek to say, John Hancock, you're the most romantic little sucker out there.
No, that's when the left hook comes out of it.
No, but what I'm suggesting is that I don't like when people touch my face.
I've never touched your face.
And then you get close to my eyes, then I want to fight.
I will never touch your face.
I don't think this is that unique of an issue.
It's
I think
a totally
most
unique
people,
issue. There are millions of people out there. Where PJ over here is wearing contact
There's
lenses.
Millions of people I know who...
You wear one? I knew I liked this guy. I liked this guy.
This guy, so, I think PJ comes in here just to try to make you feel like you're his second dad.
Well, let me tell you about this. So what PJ and I have in common is something we like to call monovision, Michael.
Hmm.
We went to the eye doctor, and our
you
problem...
You got one eye?
Let me explain to you. It's technical, but follow along.
I got one.
So we are what we call nearsighted,
uh-huh.
All right? Which means our distance vision is not so good.
That's what I have.
Exactly. It needs to be corrected. And so I've had the same prescription I've said for decades now. My eyes aren't getting any worse.
Yeah.
But they're not good. Like without correction, I can't read. I couldn't read the overhead door company of St. Louis Traffic Center sign if I didn't have my contacts.
Really?
On. Yes.
Yeah.
What I have learned is I was wearing two contacts for a while,
right.
And I'm getting a little older. And when you get a little older, reading the small print gets more and more difficult. That's why people like my wife, my lovely wife, has to wear reading glasses to be able to read.
Yeah.
So what PJ and I are going to experience, and him for many, many years, me for whatever I got left, is you put the one contact in your dominant eye, and with that eye, you can read distance, you can see the street signs, you can kind of navigate your way, watch television, see the score of the football game, all kinds of things with that contact lens in.
Don't you get dizzy?
No.
Because it's only one eye.
It's just one eye, but it's the dominant eye.
Well, how do you know what your dominant eye is?
There's a test you do. Okay. You put a triangle up and you look over and something happens. And then, with your other eye, naked, no contact, nothing. Mm-hmm. And with that naked eye, I can read the smallest print. You cannot get a typeface small enough that I can't read it.
But here's what I don't.
And so it's a miracle. And so I'll never have to wear glasses again.
How do you not get dizzy?
I don't know. Don't
you feel like half of your eyes have got a magnifying glass and the other half are normal?
No, because Michael, the brain is a wondrous thing.
Mm.
And you got your left lobe over there. Mm-hmm. You got your right lobe over here.
And I have a left eye and a right eye that I'd like to keep, and I don't want to touch them.
Well, fine, but your brain is the brain is constantly. My brain is telling me, look at that sign over there and read it.
Okay.
And there it is. It says skinker.
Yeah.
And then my brain is saying, oh, there's the menu. What is in the marmalade? And you read, well, it's got some orange in there. And you read the smallest little print possible.
Hmm.
I will never, PJ, will never need glasses again for the rest of his life. Huh. It's a miracle.
Now, do you have to, when you go to your eye test for the driving?
Yeah.
Have you put your head against the thing, you know what I'm saying, and
you
look through those things?
Yeah, I cheat.
Yeah, do you tell them, hey, I got eyeglasses?
No, because you know what they do? They try and trick you. You know, they put the things on the left side, and that says stop. And then they put the stuff on the right. I can't see a darn thing because I don't have a contact in my right eye.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kind of shift over.
Oh, you look with one eye?
Yeah, I just kind of
So you really only have one eye that works.
That sees distance. My one eye, my dominant eye, sees distance.
Why wouldn't you just have two contacts?
Because then I couldn't read small print.
Well, what am I supposed to do? Because I can read small print, but you're telling me to get
one contact lens.
I don't know about that.
Go to monovision.
Okay.
It'll change everything.
I'm going to go talk to the doctor and see what I can figure out.
And all I can say is that the choice of an ophthalmologist is an extremely important decision and should not be based solely on what Hancock and Kelly have to say.
Clearly not.
When we come back, the Cardinals, well, they're out of money. That's next on KMOX.
Sometimes I wonder about your humor. Like, you and I...
PJ loves it.
I understand, but...
My wife loves it. She thinks
really?
I'm funny. Yeah,
you think she thinks you're funny?
Oh, yeah. She thinks I'm funny.
Huh.
Yeah. She's laughing at me all the time.
It's John Hancock, Michael Kelly. Yeah. So we'll be back here Friday morning, 8:30 to 11 o'clock.
We say that, but we don't know for sure.
The regular
television show. We
get fired
at any moment.
No, we're not getting fired.
Yeah, we are.
We're here on the national championship game.
The price is right.
We ain't getting fired.
No, that's a good point.
So you can see us Friday, or hear us Friday, and then don't forget you can see us on Sunday mornings, 8:30, Fox 2, here in St. Louis for Hancock and Kelly, the television show. And, John, the Cardinals made some moves today, but it wasn't anybody who was going to be swinging a bat.
Well, we're bringing in old
Chaim Bloom.
Yeah, Chaim Bloom.
Chaim.
Yep, Chaim Bloom coming to us by way of the Boston Red Sox, I believe.
Via the Tampa Bay Devil Rays.
Yes, yeah. And he's going to be an advisor to John Mozeliak, which I think is a good thing. And Chaim Bloom has had a good career evaluating talent. He's done a fine job.
At the same time, Bill DeWitt III announced the other day that Billy Joel and Sting would be joining the lineup for the Cardinals, but probably nobody else.
Yeah, I mean, they basically have said that the payroll is at the level that has been set. So if you're expecting them to add more payroll to this 2024 ball club, that's probably not going to happen. And if they were going to bring somebody new in, it would be a dollars in, dollars out kind of thing. So for those people who were speculating that the Cardinals might go out and get another starting pitcher, a top-of-the-line Dylan Cease-type starting pitcher, that's not likely to happen as well. It's not going to happen. And for folks that thought they might add another late-inning bullpen arm like a the guys that are available out there. That's not going to happen.
No, so, not going to happen.
No.
So do you think we're likely to see some trades go down? Because we've got an abundance of talent in the outfield.
We just made a trade on Friday and picked up a decent reliever coming off of Tommy John surgery with Tampa Bay. And Palacios, the outfielder for the Cardinals, who had a very nice little run in September with the club, but there just wasn't room for him.
Yeah.
He wasn't going to play a lot. And so he gets shipped down to Tampa Bay, and we get the relief pitcher, the right-hander. Got a good sinker, a good slider, and he'll slot into the late-inning bullpen. And so based on what the Cardinals are saying and what we've seen, I think this roster is pretty well set heading into spring training, just a month and a week.
Can you believe that? A month and a week away. So that's the baseball team. Let's switch over to the hockey team. They fired Craig Berube. I didn't like it. Except he outlasted most, the life of a hockey coach is somewhat short. He made it. Boy, maybe we found a recipe to light a fire under this team.
Well, it certainly is resulted in what looks to be a more intense play on the ice by the Blues. They played very well. The last two games, they've won 2-1 against a couple of very good clubs. And, you know, and right before Berube was relieved of his duties, they'd lost three games in a row to some really bad hockey teams, Detroit, Chicago. They're playing well now. That's not atypical when a team in hockey fires its head coach. A lot of times the team wakes up and they pull it together. Over the long haul, this team does not have, in my opinion, the talent to compete for the Stanley Cup. But I do think they should make the playoffs, but they got some work to do.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. But it is fun to see the hockey team winning. At least we could potentially make the playoffs. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, that seemed like a pipe dream, and now there seems to be a realistic chance for us to continue to try to put together some of these wins and climb our way into the playoffs. And boy, it's a whole second season when you make it to the NHL playoffs. It's not like any other sport out there.
You know, it is the hardest, in my opinion, it's the hardest sport to win a championship.
Yeah.
Because they're all best of seven series, and you've got to win four of them. Boom, to boom, to boom, to boom. It's physical. Players get injured. Players play hurt. And to persevere through that just gauntlet of competition on the ice, getting hit, blocking pucks, it's a real feat to win a Stanley Cup, and I think for that reason, I think it's the toughest trophy to win in all of professional sports. Well, we had our NFL insider on earlier tonight, John Hancock from Chicago. He made some predictions for the upcoming playoffs, and thought I'd get your thoughts.
All right, let's do it. You and I'll choose them.
So you got the Browns versus the Texans, first game up on Saturday.
I'm with Houston.
All right, you're taking the Texans.
What about you?
All right. I'm taking the I like the Texans.
Were you going to take the Browns?
I like the Browns.
I'm taking the Texans.
I like the Flacco
story. I'm voting
on
uniforms alone there.
All right, so you're going to take, so MK is taking the Texans. I'm going with Junior. I'm going to take the Browns.
Okay.
JH is going to take the Browns. All
then
right.
We've got our Kansas Dolphins City Chiefs and the Dolphins. I say the Fish.
You think the Dolphins win
that
game?
I do not think this is the year for our Kansas City Chiefs.
Junior picked the Chiefs. Yeah. I am picking the Dolphins.
Hey, now.
So there you go. All right. Then the Steelers and the Bills.
Buffalo.
Yeah.
Buffalo.
Yeah, that's easy. I mean,
Packers and the Cowboys. Cowboys. How about them Cowboys?
Probably. Although, you know, Jordan Love's been playing pretty well, the quarterback for the Packers. I'm going to take the Green Bay Packers.
I'm taking the Dallas Cowboys and CD Lamb, Dak Prescott, and the whole team.
Is over here.
Despite their coach, they'll win.
All right, the Los Angeles Rams against the Detroit Lions.
Well, it's not even a question. Detroit Lions will
in
be,
Detroit.
Yeah,
you know, one of the great storylines in all of these playoffs. You got the quarterbacks. It's kind of like the wife swap show, you know, where you swap your wife with the other fan. And so what they did is these two teams, they swapped their quarterbacks.
Right.
Stafford from the Lions goes to the Rams. Jared Goff from the Rams goes to the Lions.
And here
they
go.
Are. facing off in the playoffs in the first round. It's like wife swap.
Yeah, nothing should happen positive for Stan Kroenke.
Junior, well, okay, but let's separate.
I think Detroit's going to win.
All right, Junior took the Rams.
Yeah,
I'm going to take the Detroit Lions.
That's right.
Who haven't won a playoff game since Chester A. Arthur was president.
There you go. And then the final game of the week is the Eagles and the Buccaneers, and I think it's the Philadelphia Eagles will walk away with that bad boy.
So the Eagles have lost 5 of the last 6 games. They look lost out there. The offense is not doing well. The quarterback has got his fingers all bent, crooked, and nasty, whatever. What's the quarterback's name over there?
Yeah, him.
Hurts.
Jalen Hurts.
Jalen Hurts. He's got his fingers all crooked and
bent
up.
They're a little gnarly. Look like your toes.
I'm going to go with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in an upset.
Baker Mayfield?
Yeah, Baker Mayfield. So Junior took the Eagles on that one. Well, we've come to a inglorious ending to our evening together, ladies and gentlemen, Michael Kelly and John Hancock. I want to thank Matt Pajeski and John Camp, who is in studio working the boards. Maria Kina's got the news. She's going to bring that to you a little bit. Brad Choate was in earlier after covering the public safety meeting. And that is the ball game by Ernie Hayes. It's KMOX in St. Louis.
Sometimes I wonder about your humor, like you and I.
PJ loves it.
I understand, but
my wife loves it. She thinks
really?
I'm funny. Yeah,
you think she thinks you're funny?
Oh yeah, she thinks I'm funny.
Huh.
Yeah, she's laughing at me all the time.
It's John Hancock, Michael Kelly. Yeah. So we'll be back here Friday morning, 8:30 to 11 o'clock.
Well, we say Hancock that, but we don't know for sure.
The regular
radio
show.
Any moment.
No, we're not getting fired.
Yeah, we are.
We're here on the national championship
game. The price is right.
We ain't getting fired.
No, that's a good point.
So you can see us Friday, or hear us Friday, and then don't forget you can see us on Sunday mornings, 8:30, Fox 2, here in St. Louis for Hancock and Kelly, the television show. And John, the Cardinals made some moves today, but it wasn't anybody who was going to be swinging a bat.
Well, we're bringing in Chaim Bloom. Yep, Chaim Bloom coming to us by way of the Boston Red Sox, I believe.
Via the Tampa Bay Devil Rays.
Yes, yeah. And he's going to be an advisor to John Mozeliak, which I think is a good thing. And Chaim Bloom has had a good career evaluating talent. He's done a fine job.
At the same time, Bill DeWitt III announced the other day that Billy Joel and Sting would be joining the lineup for the Cardinals, but probably nobody else.
Yeah, I mean, they basically have said that the payroll is at the level that has been set. So if you're expecting them to add more payroll to this 2024 ball club, that's probably not going to happen. And if they were going to bring somebody new in, it would be a dollars in, dollars out kind of thing. So for those people who were speculating that the Cardinals might go out and get another starting pitcher, a top-of-the-line Dylan Cease-type starting pitcher, that's not likely to happen as well. It's not going to happen. And for folks that thought they might add another late-inning bullpen arm like the guys that are available out there, that's not going to happen.
So do you think we're likely to see some trades go down? Because we've got an abundance of talent in the outfield.
We made a trade on Friday and picked up a decent reliever coming off of Tommy John surgery with Tampa Bay. And Palacios, the outfielder for the Cardinals, who had a very nice little run in September with the club, but there just wasn't room for him.
Yeah.
He wasn't going to play a lot. And so he gets shipped down to Tampa Bay, and we get the relief pitcher, the right-hander. Got a good sinker, a good slider, and he'll slot into the late-inning bullpen. And so based on what the Cardinals are saying and what we've seen, I think this roster is pretty well set heading into spring training, just a month and a week.
Can you believe that? A month and a week away. So that's the baseball team. Let's switch over to the hockey team. They fired Craig Berube. I didn't like it. He outlasted most, the life of a hockey coach is somewhat short. He made it. Boy, maybe we found a recipe to light a fire under this team.
Well, it certainly is resulted in what looks to be a more intense play on the ice by the Blues. They played very well. The last 2 games, they've won 2-1 against a couple of very good clubs. And, you know, and right before Berube was relieved of his duties, they'd lost three games in a row to some really bad hockey teams, Detroit, right. Chicago. And so, you know, they're playing well now. That's not atypical when a team in hockey fires its head coach. A lot of times the team wakes up and they pull it together. Over the long haul, this team it does not have, in my opinion, the talent to compete for the Stanley Cup. But I do think they should make the playoffs, but they got some work to do.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. But it is fun to see the hockey team winning. At least we could potentially make the playoffs. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, that seemed like a pipe dream. And now there seems to be a realistic chance for us to continue to try to put together some of these wins and climb our way into the playoffs. And boy, it's a whole second season when you make it to the NHL playoffs. It's not like any other sport out there.
You know, it is the hardest, in my opinion, it's the hardest sport to win a championship.
Yeah.
Because they're all best of seven series, and you've got to win four of them. Boom, to boom, to boom, to boom. It's physical. Players get injured. Players play hurt. And to persevere through that just gauntlet of competition on the ice, getting hit, blocking pucks, it's a real feat to win a Stanley Cup. And I think for that reason, it's the toughest trophy to win in all of professional sports. Well, we had our NFL insider on earlier tonight, John mm-hmm. Hancock from yeah. Chicago. He made some predictions for the upcoming playoffs, and thought I'd get your thoughts.
All right, let's do it. You
games.
And I will choose them. Ready?
So you got the Browns versus the Texans, first game up on Saturday.
I'm with Houston.
All right, you're taking the Texans.
What about you?
All right, I'm taking the – well, you know, I like the Texans.
Wait, were you going to take the Browns?
I like the Browns.
I'm taking the Texans.
I like the Flacco
story. I'm voting
story.
On uniforms alone there.
All right, so you're going to take – so MK is taking the Texans. I'm going with Junior. I'm going to take the Browns.
Okay.
JH is going to take the Browns.
All then right. we've got our Kansas
Dolphins
City
and
Chiefs and the Dolphins. I say the Fish.
You think the Dolphins will
I do
game.
Not think this is the year for our Kansas City Chiefs.
Junior picked the Chiefs. Yeah. I am picking the Dolphins.
Hey, now.
So there you go. All right. Then the Steelers and the Bills.
Buffalo.
Yeah.
Buffalo.
Yeah, that's easy. I mean,
Packers and the Cowboys. Cowboys. How about them Cowboys?
Probably. Although, you know, Jordan Love's been playing pretty well, the quarterback for the Packers. I'm going to take the Green Bay Packers.
I'm taking the Dallas Packers. Cowboys and CD Lamb. Dak Prescott and the
MK
whole team
is over here.
Despite their coach, they'll win.
All right, the Los Angeles Rams against the Detroit Lions.
Well, it's not even a question. Detroit Lions will
in
beat
Detroit.
Them. Yeah,
you know, one of the great storylines in all of these playoffs, you got the quarterbacks. It's kind of like the wife swap show, you know,
yeah,
where you swap
right.
your wife with
uh-huh.
the other fan. And so what they did is these two teams, they swapped their quarterbacks.
Right.
Stafford from the Lions goes to the Rams. Jared
right.
Goff from the Rams goes to the Lions.
And here
they
go.
Are facing off in the playoffs in the
yeah.
first round. It's like wife swap.
Yeah, nothing should happen positive for Stan Kroenke.
Junior, well,
lose.
Okay, but let's
well, I'm
let's
telling
separate.
You, I think Detroit's going to win.
All right. Junior took the Rams.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the Detroit Lions,
that's right.
who haven't won a playoff game since Chester A. Arthur was president.
There you go. And then so, the final game of the week is the Eagles and the Buccaneers, and I think it's the Philadelphia Eagles will walk away with that bad boy.
So the Eagles have lost five of the last six games. They look lost out there. The offense is not doing well. The quarterback has got his fingers all bent, crooked, and nasty, whatever. What's the quarterback's name over there?
Yeah, him.
Old Hurts.
Yeah, Jalen Hurts.
Jalen Hurts. He's
That's
got
right.
his fingers all crooked and
They're
bent
a little
up.
Gnarly. They look like your toes.
I'm going to go with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers
oh,
in an upset.
Can
well,
you imagine
actually, the
Baker
home team.
Mayfield?
Yeah, Baker Mayfield. So Junior took the Eagles on that one. Well, we've come to a inglorious ending to our evening together, ladies and gentlemen. Michael Kelly and John Hancock. I want to thank Matt Pajeski and John Camp, who is in studio working the boards. Maria Kina has got the news. She's going to bring that to you a little bit. Brad Choate was in earlier after covering the public safety meeting. And that is the ball game by Ernie Hayes. It's KMOX in St. Louis.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.